Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us here this evening on this Sunday evening. It's 7 p.m. here in Virginia, Eastern Time, USA. You can find us every Sunday right here on New Visions Radio. Today is August the 27th, so the time is just ticking by. And before we get started, we always like to just give a thanks to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air. We weren't in the studio last week, so he re-ran a program for us, and I took a little vacation. My wife and I went to the Great Smoky Mountains, and it was beautiful. We really had a nice time. Boy, I don't know if I told you, Ed, it was the loudest thunderstorm I have ever experienced in my life.
Oh, really?
It was unbelievable. You know, we have a camper, and we were camping, and it sounded like a cannon. I thought it was an explosion. And it just, right up out of a dead sleep, it just woke me up. And then it just kept booming and booming. It was shaking everything. I've never heard anything like it. But we were very fortunate. There was a lot of rain, but we weren't in a flood zone. Everything went well.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah.
But now you know, and everybody else knows.
Right.
You know, we're really grateful to be here each and every week to be able to open God's Word and study it. Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you please?
Yes, Prophecies of Hope is located in Stanton, Virginia, and we're at 1743 West Beverly Street. If you ever come by and visit us. We just a small little ministry. We meet on Wednesday evenings for Bible study at 7 p.m., you can actually tune in via Zoom if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And we have a Bible study on Sabbath mornings, Saturday mornings, at 9:30, and then a regular church service at 11. And there's also a study on the sanctuary going on Monday nights as well.
Yeah, you know, that was really good last week. It was very, very good study.
Good.
And we enjoyed that. And you know, I was opening my Bible to where we were going. Did you mention Wednesday? Did you mention Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I apologize. I looked at my Bible laying here on the table, and it was open to Hebrews. And I says, wait a minute, we're in Romans. What am I doing there? So, yeah, that's a little bit about us. Now, we do have a website. That's www.prophecyhope.com. And if you go to that website, you find lots of sermons, and you will find some older what do we call them, newsletters, and you'll find the radio programs archived there as well.
Right. None from this year.
Not yet. I've been working on that. You know, we had to revamp the website. We were having some technical difficulties, and it's still, you know, one of the reasons why I haven't put these on is because we're limited to the amount of data on the site.
Right.
So we're going to have to do a complete redesign. And I will just tell you, if anybody out there knows somebody that does that, we could use some volunteer work on that.
Yeah.
So it would be really nice to be able to have someone help us out with that, because I am not very savvy when it comes to working on a website. Not very good at that. So, Ed, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
All right. And if you want to email me, you can send an email to mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, we want to invite you to be willing to, if you have any Bible questions, send those to us, because we can try to address those right on the air. And some of the best things, some of the most, I would say, things that we have learned the most have come from questions that people have asked.
Right.
People ask a question, we say, you know, we've never considered that. And we go and we study and we say, wow, look at what we found right here. It's been here all the time, and we never observed it before.
Right. You know, is there something going on in September 2023?
Oh, yeah. What is that, Ed? What's happening in September?
Yeah, September 20th through the 23rd.
Right.
There's going to be a series going on dealing with prophecy in the Bible.
Yeah. And we're going to be studying, we're going to look specifically at Daniel's prophecies in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. We're going to look at prophecies in Revelation, and we're going to have a special guest speaker, Jason Hovey. He's going to come, isn't he?
Right.
Excuse me. Now, Jason has been here before. He's been on the air. We're going to try to get him in the studio and get him here to do a program with us. If you have any questions, start sending them now. We'll see if we can get him to answer them. And specifically, if it has to do with the Islam or Muslim community.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this before we get started. I don't know. I know many Christians know, but some of you listening may not have a Christian background. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that people recognize that of the three major religions of the world, you have Christianity, you have Judaism, and you have Islam. And when you look at Judaism and Islam, you know, when you go back into Abraham's day, we've talked about Abraham on this program. He had two sons, didn't
right.
he? And one of them was Ishmael, from which the Islamic nation comes from, and the other one was Isaac, from which the Israelite nation comes from. And then as time went on, Christ came, and the way started.
Yeah.
And the Israelite way was actually pointing to that way.
Right.
So it's interesting, and Jason's going to go into those things, and he's going to compare how the Islamic, the Quran, the book that Islam uses, in some ways, I can't say in every way, but there are places where it is in alignment with God's word, the Bible. And so he's going to cover some of those things and show us ways that we can witness to those people and teach them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because both the Jewish people and the Muslim people reject that God has a son. And we know from our studies that this is the only way to salvation. So that's just a little bit of history. I'm sorry I took that much time. But let's get started in our study. Ed, would you mind having a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for this opportunity to come and open your word, the Bible. Father, we just simply seek to understand the message that's written in the Bible, the message of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're grateful for that, grateful for this great gift that you've given us. As we open the Word, we're going to be studying Romans chapter 8. Give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, I think 2 weeks ago when we were here, we were in Romans chapter 8, I believe. Okay. And we had read through, I think, verse 29. But when we left off, we said that we were going to go back and talk a little bit about verse 26.
Okay.
So do you have that there?
Yeah. Let me start in verse 23. Maybe,
okay. Very good.
And read through verse 27. Verse 23 says, "And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he also hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait for it in patience, with patience. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, searching the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God."
Okay, so, you know, our theme 2 weeks ago, we named these programs when we do them, and it was called Saved by Hope, and you just read that.
Okay.
So what's significant about this? When we look at verse 26, what stands out to you, Ed? What's important for us?
You know, in verse 23, it says, we even ourselves groan within ourselves.
Mm.
But when we go down to 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for, what we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
So what does that mean to you when you read this text? Do you find comfort in this verse?
Yes, yes. Let me read the God's Word version
okay,
of that verse.
Very good.
The last sentence says, but the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words.
Hmm.
You know, I don't speak any different languages than English, and some people say I have trouble speaking that. But, you know, you have someone who comes to visit us, and English is their second language, and they'll say, how do I say this in English?
Right.
How do I express my needs to God in a language that he understands, the language of heaven, the ways of heaven?
Mm.
How can I make him understand the difficulty that I have here on this earth? But we have an intercessor whose name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who has experienced everything that I've experienced, who is tempted always like I'm tempted. Mm. And he can express things to his Father when we ask for help in our time of need in ways that I can't. I don't understand all the language of heaven. Yet he has my experience that can explain things to his Father that I can't explain myself.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you might have somebody that has done a particular task and you've never done it, and
right.
you're trying to explain what to do, and that person says, wait a minute, I've done this, maybe I can help.
Right.
And they kind of intercede for you and explain it and show how it's done.
Right.
Well, this is what Christ does, and the beauty of it is that he can read our hearts. Mm-hmm. We might have something on our mind. I've used this expression, I'm at a loss for words.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to express myself. And maybe there's something on our heart that, in fact, I just recently someone had called me and they were just distraught. And they told me what was on their mind. And I said, well, let's pray together. And you know what I said in that prayer? Father, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to say. I literally said that in the prayer with this person.
Because the situation was such, it's like, what do we do?
Yes. I didn't know what to pray for. I said, but Father, you know what's needed here.
Yeah.
You know. And so this is the experience that is being talked about here in Romans, isn't it?
Yes.
Not knowing what to ask for, not understanding, maybe not being able to put it in the words, but it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Let me share a text with you.
Sure.
1 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
And I want to read verse 5. We could probably read around it, but I'm just going to start with verse 5. It says, for God is one, and there is one mediator of God and of men, the man Christ Jesus.
Mm.
I think the King James says there's one mediator between God and men.
Yes.
The man Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So Jesus is our mediator. He is our intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
It's his Spirit that works within us.
Yeah, it is.
That helps us in our time of need.
And within the last few years, Ed, in our studies, we discovered something about the mediator. I've always thought of mediation going from me to God.
Yeah.
But what do we learn?
A mediator goes both ways. Christ mediates his Father to us, as well as mediates us to his Father.
See, that's so important. And I'd never realized that until just a few years ago. And
would you like an example?
Please.
Of that?
Please, I'd love to see
that. Let's go to John 17.
Okay.
And oftentimes, today in Christianity, there's a big push for unity.
Mm. It's very true.
And I want to start in verse 20, John 17, 20. And I'm going to read a little ways. Jesus is speaking here. He's praying to his Father, the only true God, as mentioned in verse 3. Verse 20 says, and I do not pray for these alone, praying for his disciples, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Notice verse 23. It's Christ in us and this, his Father in him, that we may be made perfect in one. One in Christ.
That's what it says. And, you know, this is a beautiful thing. This shows the intimacy that we can have with Jesus even today.
And his Father.
Right. Because he brings his Father to us. Yes. That's the mediation part. Right. That's the intercessory part.
That's mediation isn't one way, as you said. Christ mediates the Father to us as well as us to the Father.
Yes. And how we come to these things is through prayer, through study of God's Word. And this opens the way for us to know more and more and recognize when God is working in our lives.
Yes, and we can see his working in our lives. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
You know, we had this storm come to Southern California recently. My son actually happens to, and his family are in San Diego. He works for the Navy as a civilian, and he's down there doing a job down there. And I was watching the radar as it was coming inland to Southern California. And I don't know if there's something wrong with the radar or this actually was a true indication of what was going on with the storm. But where he was staying on Coronado Island, there was a split in the storm.
Wow.
And as it went on each side, and all of a sudden it covered with the lighter rain in that area.
Right.
And I don't know if this was actually a representation of what was happening, or if this was maybe a dysfunction in the radar. I don't know. But I had prayed for him and his family. We prayed for him and other families that were involved down there.
That's right.
For protection during the storm.
Yeah, you know,
God works in our lives.
One of our brothers that lives in California that comes every Wednesday night. Uh-huh. I called him to make sure that he was okay after the storm.
Right.
And he said, "You know, it's kind of miraculous." He said it was we experienced rain, but it wasn't nearly like what we thought it would be.
Right.
So yes, I believe that God intercedes in those times. And some people might say, well, what about all those other people? Well, was anybody praying for them? You know, if they pray for them specifically, you know, it can make a difference.
Right.
And sometimes we can have a general prayer, you know, please protect those people in California. Please protect those people from the storm, whoever it is. And the more people that are lifting people up in prayer, I believe that there's power in that.
Yes.
There's power in the number of people that are praying. And, you know, that kind of takes us to another topic, but so many people they may not know how to pray.
Right.
They may not understand. And I think this is part of what Romans is telling us. We may not know what to say, but we need to know how to pray. And Jesus gives us an example of how to pray. We can actually find that, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Can we go there for just a moment, Ed?
Ahead.
I think it's important that people understand this because, let me tell you, prayer is, just like Brother Ed pointed out just now, prayer is powerful, and you saw that split in the storm.
Yeah.
When I see something like that I have prayed about, I don't think that was just a coincidence.
Right.
I give the credit to God. So let's see, Matthew, where is that? It's right here, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is a Sermon on the Mount. And it says, that beginning in verse 9, and I'm reading from the New King James, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." So this is what we call the model prayer. A lot of times, or some call it the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the Our Father prayer. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It's a very short prayer. But The first thing that he prayed was he asked that God's name would be made holy.
Yeah.
That his name would be hallowed. And he prayed for God's kingdom to come. Part of receiving that kingdom of God is receiving Christ today. We need to receive Christ. So the other thing is that when Jesus prayed, he had a manner of prayer. He addresses the Father. He was speaking to his Father. And, you know, when we pray these days, Jesus says, anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. So when we pray to the Father, we should pray in the name of Jesus. If you listen carefully to the prayers that are prayed here, we always begin with either Father in heaven, Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. It's very similar to the way that Jesus prayed. And we typically will end the prayer in the name of Jesus and then use this word, Amen.
You know, I was trying to find a text. I can't find it. But when I did find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
Pray without ceasing. That means being in communication with God throughout the day.
You know, there was a scripture. I think I've told you that. That text, whenever I hear it, there's a scripture song that pops in my mind. And it uses that. I think, doesn't it say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Right.
The only reason I remember that is because of the song. And it's hard for me to say it without singing the tune. And believe me, you wouldn't want to hear me sing that tune here.
So you use the song to help you remember the Bible
verse.
I do.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, scripture songs are so much fun. But, you know, I just wanted to point that out, friends. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what we should ask for. But we're promised here, as we just read, as Ed read here in Romans chapter 8, verse, and I'm going to read it again, verse 26. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Yeah.
So we can have comfort in that.
Yes.
We can have comfort in knowing that. Now, this text in Romans, was there anything else that you wanted to cover in this particular section, Ed?
No, I think actually we can get more information as we continue.
Okay.
In Romans 8, it will give us more information about the Spirit also helps our infirmities. It gives us more information about who that Spirit is.
Oh, that's important. We need to know. So, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this in Christianity.
Right. So maybe we should just read verses 26 through 34.
Okay. Did you want me to read that?
Yeah, if you could read that,
that'd
be great.
All right, and I'm reading from the New King James. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely forgive us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? I'm sorry, it doesn't ask, it says it. It says, it is God who justifies. Boy, that makes a big difference. Verse 34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
So Christ is our intercessor.
Yes.
He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. And he's our comforter.
Interesting that you use that word comforter.
Yeah.
Where does that take us in the Bible when we look at that?
It takes us to John 14, verse 18.
Okay. Can we look at that?
Sure.
And I think this also, depending on the translation that you use, the word might be different. But the King James stays true.
Yes.
It really does. So that was John.
And this is Jesus speaking in John 14.
So what do you have there, Ed? What verse again?
This is 18, verse 18. He says, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Hmm. So Jesus himself.
Yes, and let's go a little farther, verse 19 and 20. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Hmm. So it seems to me, you know, we've talked about this many times in the past, and it will come up, and it will continue to come up.
Right.
Because this is something that is really misunderstood by many, many Christians around the world. And they believe that this comforter is a different person. They believe that it's a separate person.
Right.
But Jesus is actually, he's the one who is the comforter here.
Yes.
He's the one who is coming to us. It's his Spirit. He brings the Spirit of the Father also.
Yes.
Right? So when I look at this, just think of what John 17:3 says. And you mentioned John 17:3 earlier when we read verse 20. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention a third person.
No, it doesn't.
It mentions two beings, the Father and his Son. So when I look at that, and then I see that Jesus says, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. When it says another comforter in John chapter 14, verse 16, how am I to understand that, Ed?
Well, what does he say after that?
Okay, well, let me just read the text. John chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 15.
Okay.
He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, in the New King James, it says another helper.
Uh-huh.
But that word there is actually should be comforter.
Right.
And it says, the Spirit of truth in verse 17. So let me read that again. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
So if we look at that, why is Jesus even talking about this?
He's preparing his disciples for when he dies.
And right. He's told them in chapter 13 at the Last Supper that he's going away.
Right.
And where he's going, they can't come with him.
Right.
So now he's saying, I will give you another comforter. Who's their first comforter? It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. First of all, who do they know?
Well, they know Jesus.
Yeah.
He's
just
right there
earlier in the chapter, Philip is saying, show us the Father. And, you know, Jesus says, how can you not say, show me the Father? I've been with you this long. How do you say I don't know the Father?
Right.
Because Christ speaks only the words that his Father gave him to do. The Spirit of God in him performs the miracles, gives him the power to perform the miracles that
happen, right.
Do the works.
Yes.
And now he's saying, this other comforter you already know, And he dwells with you, already dwells with them. That's mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and shall be in you. We just read in John 20 that it's going to be Christ that's in us.
Yes. So think about this. If just take the time, friends, to open your Bible and read John chapter 14. And
read the words on the page.
Yes, it's so important yeah. because so many times we miss little things like John 14:6. Actually, Thomas asked Jesus, he says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?
Right?
And Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way. Jesus is speaking of himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
There's no other way to the Father. No other intercessor, no other advocate, no other comforter, no other, there's a fourth one.
Mediator,
yeah.
So, I was trying to think, which words did he just say?
Yeah.
But so think about that, friends. Listen to it again. Thomas wanted to know, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this word, the truth, what's he say that would come to them?
The spirit of truth,
whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be
in you.
Wow.
Yeah, it's talking about the Spirit of Christ.
Yes, not another spirit,
right.
Not another person. So this is very important. And, you know, we've been taught certain things in Christianity a lot of times that we might have a verse or two that seem to support it. But mm-hmm. when we take the whole of Scripture, it refutes those things and shows us the truth of who the Father is and who His Son is.
Right. You know, we've been reading in Romans 8, and let me just read verses 8 through 11 again.
Sure.
It's talking about being in the Spirit or being in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if we don't have the Spirit of the Christ, we can't receive the Spirit of God. And if Christ be in you, who's in you? Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What's he talking about? The body's dead because of sin? When we're baptized in the death of Christ, we die to sin.
Yes, we read
verse 11.
Verse 6.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So in order to receive the Spirit of God, we need the Spirit of Christ.
Yes. So you notice there are only two beings that's talked about here.
Right.
It outside of yourself, right?
Right.
It's the Father and the Son. The Son brings us the Father, and He takes us to the Father as well.
Mark, let me ask you a question. Do you have a spirit?
I do.
Is it a different being than who you are?
No, it's not. No. That's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times there's this, a lot of people think of the spirit that, you know, our spirit as something mystical or mysterious, uh-huh. but it really isn't because, you know, the spirit, if we look at the actual word, can be just breath.
Right.
It's what animates us. It's, you know, it's not something that lives separately from us, right? To put it in simple terms, maybe this will help some of the folks here. You know, we're just mere human beings.
Yeah.
And the only way that I can communicate with you, Ed, is I have to either say it, or I can, you know, if we're deaf, or we can use sign language. Sometimes when we're here, we'll point. We use a little, we don't know American Sign Language, but we know what we're saying when we're in the studio. Or I can write it down, mm-hmm. right? I can send you an email. So there are ways we can communicate, but you don't know my thoughts, and I don't know your thoughts.
Right.
The beauty of Christ in you is that Christ can know our thoughts.
Right.
He knew the thoughts of those Pharisees,
right?
And the other thing is, he can give you a thought. by means of his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christ is here on the earth as a man and he's walking with these men and he's sitting there with them in John chapter 14 and he's saying, look, where I go, you can't go. He was with them physically.
He was their comforter.
Yes. So once he dies and he's resurrected, he was with them again, physically.
Yeah.
But there was a time in Acts where he ascended to the heavens.
Right.
So now where is he?
He's in heaven.
That's what the Bible says. He's at the right hand of God. So how is he our intercessor?
Through his Spirit.
By his Spirit. Yeah. By his Spirit, not another Spirit.
Let me share something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that might help with this.
That would be great.
And I want to start in verse 9. We'll read a little ways again. I'm sure many of you, if you've listened to preachers any length of time, you've heard this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. A lot of people say this verse is talking about things of heaven. And I could see maybe where that could apply. But read the next few verses.
Mm.
But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. Who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So just as God has a spirit, so do we have a spirit. Who knows my thoughts? Only my spirit within me, except for God who reads the heart. The same with God. Who knows the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God within him? You know, I was studying the book of Zechariah for different reasons, but I came across this text I want to share with you.
Okay.
It's Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. I found it very interesting. It says, the burden of the word of Jehovah for Israel, says Jehovah, who stretched forth the heavens, who lays the foundation on the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him.
Hmm. Wow.
God created us in his image.
Yes,
and
he did.
He formed the spirit of man within each individual.
In fact, in Genesis, it says that God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life. It's the ruach, and it's related to neshama. These are Hebrew words,
which means air, breath.
Yeah,
wind.
It's wind.
Yeah,
yeah. Like in Greek, we would use the word pneuma. You know, when you have pneumonia, right?
Or pneumatic tool.
Pneumatic tool. Yeah. See, so you can hear the language right there in that. So there was a text that I was thinking of, Ed, and I'm looking for it. Did you have another thought you wanted to continue?
Well, it's just that we need to consider when we see the word Holy Spirit or just the plain word Spirit, we have to look at it in the context of what is written.
Yes.
Because God has a Spirit as well as Christ has a Spirit as well as you have a Spirit and I have a Spirit.
Right. And that I think this is the point. We look at, sometimes we think that when
Satan
we die.
Satan has a spirit.
Yes.
An evil spirit.
Correct. And so that's a great point. And sometimes we look at things and say, well, wait a minute. When I die, my spirit returns to God. Well, that's true. But let's look at that text.
Yeah.
So
Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, friends. And this is where we really need to stick to the verbiage that's used in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because so many of us have been taught certain things. The first program that was ever done here on this, as Bible Answers here, Prophecies of Hope, was about what happens when we die.
Yeah.
Because this is where the Bible starts. The Bible starts with a choice of life or death.
Right.
Right? That's how it starts. So the Bible is very clear about what happens when we die. In fact, since I'm in Ecclesiastes, I'm just going to read a text to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says, "For the living," this is verse 5, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. And that's talking about in this world. Verse, go ahead.
Now you said Ecclesiastes 5:5. It's actually Ecclesiastes 9:5.
9:5. Did I say 5:5? Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. Thank you, Ed. Yeah, yeah, it was that was Ecclesiastes 9:5 and 6 that I just read. And verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now, why did I read these texts? Because I want to go to, we're talking about the spirit, right? I want to go to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7.
Right.
And it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, so many times we look at that and we say, so many Christians have been taught that if I'm good and I die, I go to heaven right away. Right. And if I'm bad and I die, I go to hell right away. But this says that the dust went at the time of death, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it.
Right.
Does it say anything about being righteous or unrighteous there?
No.
So everyone who dies, the spirit or the breath,
that
gift of life goes back to God who gave it.
Can I read a couple of texts?
Please.
I know we kind of got off subject here, but
we're still on topic.
All right.
I think.
Job 27. I want to read verse 3.
Okay.
Job 27, verse 3.
I'm there.
And I'm not sure what version this is. I don't have it listed. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils.
Mm.
If we look at Genesis and look at the creation story, if I can get to Genesis here, chapter 2, verses 7, it says, and Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Mm.
So Job is saying that breath in his nostrils is the Spirit of God.
Yes. That's what...
A gift of life.
That's what gives us life.
Yeah.
So...
And so, notice in Genesis 2, there's two things. God made man of the dust of the ground.
Right.
And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What does Ecclesiastes 12 say?
That said that the dust returns to the ground and the spirit returns to God
who gave it. Yeah.
And I think if you do a check there, let me just I'm going to see if I can look that up really quick. Do you have a way of looking at that in the Hebrew just to see?
Which one?
You take a look at, you find the one in Genesis.
All right.
And I'll see if I can look up the one in Ecclesiastes just to save time. I'm doing this on my phone, friends, and I'm
so what word do you want to look up? Breath?
Yeah, look up that word where it
breath
says breathe into his nostrils, the breath of life.
I don't know how you pronounce it. Napha?
Nefesh? Is it Nefesh?
Maybe that's it. That's Hebrew 53:01. It's a primitive root, to puff, and various applications literally to inflate, blow hard, scatter, kindle, expire, figuratively to disdain, blow, breath, give up, come to lose life, seething, snuff. That's what it. The different words you can use for that Hebrew word.
Okay, and what was the what was that number for the word?
H5301.
Okay, so that is a different word because breathe. What it, when it says was that breathed into his nostrils?
Yes.
What about the breath of life?
Okay, that's a different one.
Yeah,
that's H5397. A puff, that is wind, angry or vital breath. Divine inspiration, intellect.
I wish I had my computer here.
Breath, inspiration, soul, spirit.
Well, we know it's... See, this is where a lot of times some false doctrines can creep in. So I'm looking here, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became a living being. Right.
So that breath, that word breath, there can be interpreted wind,
mm-hmm.
inspiration, soul, spirit,
okay.
breath.
The word in, when we look at that word in Ecclesiastes, it's the word ruach, and it means wind, breath, spirit, okay, breath from heaven. and that's where it is. That's right. So when we look at these things and we see these words that are used, the spirit does not live independently from the person. If I die, my spirit returns to God who gave it. The breath goes out. The last breath I take is when I inhale, the last breath is always it's an exhale. It returns to God. So the point is, when we read these things, you know, we were talking about you have a spirit. Mm-hmm. I have a spirit. When I die, that ceases to exist. The breath goes out.
Right.
That's what we're told. The breath goes out.
There's no more thoughts, no emotions, no knowledge in the grave, according to Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
Chapter 9.
So, and the point that we were making with all of this, even though we kind of went kind of around the horn a little bit, is that God's spirit is not a separate being from who God is.
Right.
Christ's spirit is not a separate being from who he is.
Mark's spirit is not a separate being
That's
from
it.
Who he is. Satan's spirit is not a separate being from who he is.
That's correct. So while we know that there are, you know, the Bible in John 4:24 says God is a spirit, right, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know that God obviously is different from humanity. We have bodies of flesh. God has a spirit body,
mm-hmm,
but we're made in his image, so he must have a form, mm-hmm, right? And Christ was the express image of his Father's person. How can I have an express image of someone who has no form?
We're made in the image of God.
Amen. That's what we're told in Genesis.
Right.
So a lot of times we think of a spirit as this mist or vapor, but God sits on a throne. Jesus is at his right hand. He carved the commandments with his finger, right?
Yeah.
So we see all of those things. And why wouldn't I believe that to be literal if Jesus is the exact or express image, Hebrews 1 tells us,
right,
of his Father's person? So I know this is a lot to take in, friends, and there's a couple of topics that are discussed here. But when we start talking about God's spirit, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of man, this is the point you were making in Corinthians. Was that 1st or 2nd Corinthians?
1st Corinthians chapter
2. That I know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man and I know the thoughts of a man.
Yeah.
I know the thoughts of this man, myself.
Yeah, my spirit, yeah.
Right. I don't know your thoughts.
Right.
But the beauty of it is that the Father and his Son can know our thoughts.
Or some scripture says read our hearts.
Yes.
Or tries the reins.
Tries the reins.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, we were there in Ecclesiastes. I want to go back there. And this is just to help everyone get a more rounded understanding of these things. Ecclesiastes, again, chapter 12, same chapter we were just in. It says here, this is Solomon, who was considered one of the wisest men who ever lived,
mm-hmm,
right? This was King David's son.
Yeah.
And Solomon, here's what he says. Now, he had lived quite an interesting life. He had, mm-hmm, he had done a lot of things that weren't in favor with God.
Right.
But it seems like toward the end of his reckoning, he recognized that there were things that were more important than the things that he had done.
Right.
And here's what he says in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And then in verse 14, this is how he closes out Ecclesiastes. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So this is telling me that God can read my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He can know what's in my spirit.
Right.
Right?
Every secret thing. Yeah.
Every secret thing. So the things that we think, the things that we do, you know, we started off saying we know what, we don't know what to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could ask God to let us know what we need to pray for,
mm-hmm,
to fill in those blanks for us. Help me to know what I need to pray for. Give me the understanding that I need. So there's nothing wrong with asking these things. And we get there and we have a relationship with the Father by the Spirit of his Son dwelling in our hearts.
So Christ is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He's our mediator and our comforter.
Amen.
And he can read our hearts. He can express things in the ways we can't to his Father in heaven.
So, you know, let's touch on that just for a moment, Ed. Are there things that Jesus did and experienced that the Father has never done or experienced?
Yes. He became a human. He was made in all ways like his brothers. Mm-hmm. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Okay.
He, the Son of God, humbled himself and became a servant.
Yes.
On this earth, he came to serve others, not to serve himself.
Mm. He actually suffered.
Yes.
And he died.
Yes, he died.
He experienced
all of him died.
Death. Yes, yes. And what do you mean when you say all of him died, just for the listener?
Well, the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
Christ bore the penalty of that sin on the cross. That means he died.
Yes.
There wasn't a part of him that was still alive.
Correct.
He was out teaching some Northern American tribes or anything else people teach about Christ's time in the tomb.
Right.
He had no knowledge in the grave.
Right.
He actually rested on the Sabbath in the grave.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And so all of him died.
Yeah.
If he didn't die, then we don't have forgiveness of sins, because forgiveness of sins, the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
If he didn't die, there was no resurrection. He wasn't really resurrected if he didn't die.
Right. So these are important points, and I know this takes a lot of people out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
But these are things that we must let the Bible speak for itself.
There was a risk of eternal loss. God had the risk of possibly losing his Son forever.
Had Christ failed,
yes,
we would all be lost for eternity.
Right.
But he succeeded.
Yes.
You see, he came here and lived and as we are, yet never sinned.
Yes.
And that's how he bought us back.
Right.
The devil didn't win.
Yeah.
The devil lost the battle.
Yes.
He lost. And so, you know, think about what Jesus did. My question was, has he experienced something that the Father hasn't? So many people put the Father and Son on this complete co-equal, co-eternal plane. But Jesus is a Son.
He is... God is Christ's head.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 11 tells us that.
Yes.
Just as, and this isn't going to go over well either, that man is the head of woman, and Christ the head of man, God is the head of Christ. There's an order.
There is an order to things. And I know for a lot of women that are listening, they might say, well, no man is my head. Well, you know, I have to say that I think that every woman would agree that if a man treats you as Christ treats you, you would have no problem with the headship.
I just did a little sermon in Ephesians chapter 5 where it tells the husband and wife how they should treat each other. And it says that the man should treat his wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
And sanctified it. And it was without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. So the husband is supposed to love the wife.
Yes. How much did Jesus love the church? He died,
yeah.
Right? So the husband needs to love his wife that
right.
way. And his actions should show that.
Right.
And if it's not, then that can make it difficult for a woman to accept the man as the head.
Right.
Jesus doesn't look at the Father and say, Father, you're not my head. No.
Yeah.
He admitted, the Father is greater than I.
Yeah, I live because of the Father.
I live because of the Father.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so much to talk about in this situation. But as far as the headship arrangement, as far as Jesus experiencing things that the Father hasn't, the Father has never died.
No.
The Father is eternal. The Father has never lived as a man, right?
Right.
But the Father has experienced things that the Son has never experienced. The Father has no origin.
Mm-hmm.
The Father has always been. And also, The Father has never, let's see, what did I say? Jesus has experienced things the Father hasn't, but the Father has never died.
Right.
So he's been here forever and ever. The Father has never experienced being a man.
So this can explain why Jesus is our mediator.
And yes, and our intercessor.
Right.
So when we look at it that way, and again, it's not another person.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
Which brings us the Spirit of his Father.
Right.
And the Spirit of Mark and the Spirit of Ed are not other people than who we are. It is our character.
Yeah, our thoughts, our emotions, our character, our heart, however you want to say that.
So when you say it like that, Ed, think about that. If the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in me, what does that mean? I'm going to have his thoughts.
He's going to influence me.
His character.
He's going to empower me.
Yeah.
He's overcome sin. He can help me overcome sin.
Yes, it's so true.
And he did it by trusting in his Father. He was obedient to his Father. He obeyed his Father. He spoke the words of his Father. The Spirit of God in him allowed, empowered Christ to do the works, the miracles he did, to raise people from the dead, to cast out demons, to heal sick people.
So, Ed, let me ask you, knowing Jesus, has that made you different?
Yes.
Okay, in a good way.
Yes, to influence me, help me understand and realize and confront issues I have in my life. Mm. But not just bringing them to my attention, but help me to overcome them. You know, family reunions, you always want to be with people that love you.
Mm.
God and his Son love you.
Amen.
Don't you want to be with them?
Yes, and they want to be with us.
Yes.
Don't they? So much so that God sent his Son that he could make that happen if we accept it.
Right.
So I hate to stop us here, but so hopefully we understand better how Christ is our intercessor and our mediator. So, Ed, we're going to have to close with prayer.
All right.
Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for this study, for being here, for opening your word and seeing how you have gone through just tremendous pains to be able to be with us and save us from ourselves. And Father, I just pray that you will be with each person here, that you will, all of those who are listening, that they will accept the Spirit of Christ into their hearts, that they can be changed and be more like your Son. We're grateful for the gift you give us. We ask for your protection and blessing until we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you for the study. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. And friends, you can meet us here next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.